Yeah. Okay, today is 44 days of the Omer, and we're holding at the top of Daf Lamed Vav. Today's Daf is Daf Lamed Vav. We ended up yesterday with three separate brayot. They went from the extreme in dealing with a shofar and a chatzotzra. So they went from the extreme of saying both of them would be mutter to move, that only the shofar is mutter but the chatzotzra is aser. We understood the reason for that is because the shofar has a dual usage, because you can use it for a baby bottle. And the other extreme was that both the shofar and the chatzotzra were mutter. So the Gemara says, what lemaisa are we going to do with these three brayot? Hadatanya, let's just review that from the end of the first line. The two hadatanya, kashem shemitaltalina ta shofar, kach mitaltalina ta chatzotzra. Yesterday we saw maybe to be matter the shofar, certainly not to be matter both. So now who's that going according to? Man? Therefore we can't just look for the distinctions in the usages. Rather, we have to learn that this is a machlokes tanoim, and in fact, we know very well that there are three fundamental shitot when it comes to the dinim of mukta. El lo kasha, hal Rabbi Yehuda, hal Rabbi Shimon, hal Rabbi Nechemya. But actually, we already mentioned that there's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, where Rabbi Shimon is matir mukta. We'll see that that doesn't literally mean matir mukta, but it means that the quality of mukta is very, very limited, according to him. The cases where you were actively mekatseya something from your dad and put it out of your mind completely, such as chisaron kis, for instance. We'll talk about the various types of mukta later on. But it's difficult to find cases, according to him, where because a kli can be used for malachta le'isr, that we would just say that it's osir. The braisa that asers both of them the braisa, it's matir, rather, only the shofar, because it's a kli shemalachta le'heter, or because we're talking about, even if it's a kli shemalachta le'isur, using it for heter purpose, this is a machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos. Again, we'll get into later in our sugya when we talk about mukta more. And the third braita, which asers both the chatzotzra and the shofar, is going according to Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya's shita carries on the gezeira of Nechemya himself, in which the heter to move things on Shabbos is only for the purpose which they are normally moved. So that if you wouldn't say that a shofar is in its essence a baby bottle. Therefore, according to Rabbi Nechemya, you can't move it, even though it would have that particular usage. There's a machlokas here, actually, in this sugya, between Rabbi Natam and Rashi about how far to take Rabbi Nechemya. Is it the standard purpose for which it's always used, or is it the tashmish that's miyuchad lo? Or is it tashmish that's rogil lasod b'chol? That makes some differences here in this again. But again, I think it makes more sense to wait till we have more data when it comes to mukta.
Just what's the non-commune in the case for someone that happens to use the shofar for the
miyuchad
all the time, that's the regular use and everyone else uses it?
Would
that be called wrong?
Yeah. No. The question of rogil would be things like moving used dishes off of the table. It's certainly not a tashmish that's miyuchad, but it's certainly the tashmish that's rogel. And that would be the question, according to Rabbi Nechemya, for instance, would you be able to clean off the table? Those type of acts. I say, it's not really our sugya. Here the machlokas is more in how they're phrasing things. Tosfos doesn't like the way Rashi phrases it. But it makes more sense, I think, to wait till we have more data. This is just like one case doesn't give us much opportunity to get to a theory of mukta. Now, furthermore, I'm sure what's bothering you is that if, in fact, we're claiming that the braisa is going according to Rabbi Nechemya, that Aser is both, then when it says ein metaltalin et ha-shofar, you shouldn't have bothered mentioning the chatzotzra. I mean, if you're not even allowed to move a shofar, which has a double usage, why would I think that you'd be allowed to move a chatzotzra, which is more similar to even perhaps something that you're mekatzeh midatcha completely? It's not something you'd want to use to bang in an L, or what are you going to use it for, break a nut on Shabbos? So the Gemara is bothered by this, and therefore explains, and by the way, as to the structure of the Braita that mentions first shofar and then chatzotzra, which doesn't seem to make sense, the solution is very simple. A shofar is a chatzotzra, and a chatzotzra is a shofar. Now, of course, that sounds crazy, but what's funny is that my shofar nami chatzotzra. The Omer of Chista, Rav Chista pointed out that we have some interesting verbal changes that we need to be very careful about, lahalacha, because hanitzlat mila yishtani shamayu micharav beit hamikdash. From after the time of the Churban, we find people using a number of terms that have technical application, and they use them now in the inverse of the way they were usually used. One of them is that the chatzotzra is now called the shofar, and the shofar is the chatzotzra. Now, at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, you certainly wouldn't have confused that, because you had to be very makbid at the difference between the two, because between a Ta'anit, or between Rosh Chodesh and Tkiyah on Korbanot, the proportion of shofar, chatzotzra, and position, and so on, was critical. So yeah, that's not something you can confuse. From after the time of the Churban, this was confused. And l'may nafkamina, the nafkamina would be to be aware l'shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, the most reasonable approaches, not that we would have doubts as to what a shofar shel Rosh Hashanah is, but that if an Amoritz phones in a shaila and says, is it okay to use a shofar for Rosh Hashanah? And you think to yourself, huh? Of course it's okay. He's talking about a chatzotzra, and it's not okay. So you have to be aware of the way that the terms are used. Right? So we need to know what people might use for a shofar, and it really means something else.
It's actually transposed, or does it
actually transposed?
Not interchanged.
Well, I mean, obviously, people who are makbid, I mean, it would be an amar, it's only a scratch. And obviously, another somebody who so is not going to use the word chatzotzra.
Could use the wrong one.
The original meaning was that shofar was a ramshorn and chatzotzra was a
trumpet
instrument. Yeah. And then the switch is the reverse of that.
Yeah. The arava has now become a tzaftzifa. And the tzaftzifa has become the arava. Now, the tzaftzifa, actually the tzaftzifa and the arava are very similar. The only thing is that the tzaftzifa has rounded leaves, they're not as oval or long as the arava. And instead of having a reddish twig, it has a whitish twig that attaches the leaf to the twig. The problem is, though, that the tzaftzifa is also to use for a lulav, it's not a real arava. The tzaftzifa nowadays is what they call an arava. So again, l'may nafkamina, l'lulav. I mean, you'd have the same question coming up. Somebody asks you, shaila l'gabei l'lulav. I mean, when he's talking about, is arava okay for l'lulav, he means it's tzaftzifa and it's not okay for l'lulav. Furthermore, and this is something that l'kor would only have application for mischar, is that the common term for a lot, it does have a nafkamina in terms of fulfilling a contract. That's what is meant. L'may nafkamina, l'mekar f'lamemkar. The difference over here would be to define the term as it would normally be used. Yeah. Which one was he? A big piece or a small piece? Omar Abaye. Af anunomar, we can add to this list. And this one is very technical. The huvelila has now become known as the Beit HaKosot.
Is this a different burden yet?
That's the Bilam, that he's a Shulchani. Yeah. There are two Lishonim. The Torah by Bilam is clearly a Shulchan, not bread.
Not
Lachmaniyah. What's that? Not Lachmaniyah. Omra Abaye Afanu Nomar, we can say, again, also a pshat, which is the Huvlila. There's another thing that changed, and it's interesting. The Huvlila is originally, as we all remember from Chulin, you have the large paunch, which is the keres of a ruminant, which stores, basically, and regurgitates. And that's a very, very large stomach. That terminates in a construction that is called in the Gemara the Beit HaKosot. The Beit HaKosot was so called because inside it looks like it's small cups, and from it it's shot into the Hemsis, which is the Huvlila here. And the Hemsis, it's a Lashon. I mean, it's actually a Greek word, but it's been turned into Hemsis in Hebrew as a shame. Something that becomes liquefied, that melts. So, Mahamis, we taught in the Hemsis, which is usually original, the Homesus. But anyway, nowadays, there's tremendous nafkamin in this, because the Beit HaKosot is a very thick construction. It has a double constructed wall. And the Hemsis is actually a thin wall, a regular, like the stomach. The difference is that if a needle will stick through part of the Beit HaKosot, the way the Gemara has the Beit HaKosot, then the thick wall, which is the outside wall, will still cover it, and if it hasn't punctured both all the way through, then you don't have a trefa. Masha'en came, if you have something sticking into from one end in the Hemsis, then it's going to, since it will ultimately work its way out, it's considered to be a trefa even now, and that makes tremendous nafkamina. You have to know, as a buyer, that nowadays, what they call the Beit HaKosot actually would be trefa, because that's really the Hemsis, the Huvlilta. And what they call the Huvlilta is actually kosher, if you find a machat in one side, because that's really the Beit HaKosot. So, Afanu Nomar, Huvlila Beikasi, Beikasi Huvlila, Lamai Nafkamina, למחת שנמצאת בעובי בית הכוסות, ומצד אחד קשירה, ומצד משני הצדדים טריפה. Nowadays, that's not true. Because nowadays, the Beit HaKosot is not the original Beit HaKosot. It's actually referring to the Hemsis, which will be a trefa if it's mitzad echod. Omer Rashi, af anu nomar, let me add one, too. Bavel, the city Bavel, or the area of Bavel, we'll talk about the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos in a minute, is nowadays called Bursiv, and Bursiv is nowadays called Bavel. So the name of the area has been changed. L'may nafkamina l'kitei nashim. The difference over here would be critical for, now there's two approaches, either for bringing a get from Chutz Laaretz. So the halacha is, normally, when you bring a get to be Medinat Hayam, you have to say, b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. The reason for that is because they made a gezera, since most people were no longer baki in the din that the get has to be written l'shma, they wanted to make sure that the shliach was personally involved and would be able to respond to the questions that we had about the get. And once he starts taking responsibility to fanai nechtav, fanai nechtav, so then we assume, well, we'll just turn it off, Sabah Josh, until we can figure out the best way to. We'll work about it.
Come over here?
No. Just sit down. I turned it off. Just sit down. The other, so this is true only of places that were not Bekiyim and Lishma. The area of Bavel itself, which had all of the yeshivot and so on, they were Bekiyim Lishma just as Eretz Yisrael was, and they never made the takana of Bifanai Nechtam, Fanai Nechtam. On the other hand, Bursiv was a disastrous, I mean, that was the Gemara said, that's Bursayif, it's like a pit that's been emptied out of any contents. They have nothing there, no knowledge, they're completely minutak. And over there, of course, there would be a gezerah of b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav for shliach. So you should know that what today is called Bavel is not Bavel. It's actually Bursiv, and you'd have to be, on the contrary, very makbid that the shliach could say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtav. Now Rashi suggests another meaning over here to Lamainap Kibina Legite Nashim, which is in terms of where the get was written. Since the mokum of the Ktivata get is important to the get, if you would write now in the city of Babel, you would write Babel, you would actually have a get pasul because it was really written in what's known as Borsit. Now Tosis doesn't like this because he says there is no city of Babel. Which is an interesting thing. In other words, he brings that the norm to use the word Babel is for the entire area, not for a particular city. Now obviously there is a city of Babel as well as an area of Babel. But assuming that there's an area called Babel, we don't put that in a get. You only put the actual city in the get.
You only put also the Medina.
No, not this sentence of Medina. Not certainly not that's Ma'akim and Medina. So now that, I mean, this now would come, the question would be whether you have to be Masker, the old name as well. But that's what we would do now, especially lately. A lot of cities have changed their names since the breakup of the Soviet Union. So then you have to give the name of the city and you have to add the Mitkaria. So in other words, it was once called this. So Haslau, that was once known as the Mitkaria Kristitana, you know, or you have St. Petersburg, the Iskaria, you know. Leningrad. Where do we get to get from here? Adrian Allah is the Mahmazi, Bamemazikin. Now we go directly into the issues of Bishul. Now, up until now, we were talking about in the Mishnah, we spoke about Hatmana. And the question over there was the difference between being matmin and davar shemasif hevel, or davar she'enom masif hevel. Davar hamasif hevel, we spoke about gefet, shalzeitim, where you have something that is slowly oxidizing, or you could have a compost heap which is oxidizing. And over there, you can't put something in it over Shabbos, because we made a gezeira in cases where you have something that's masif hevel. But whatever, we'll talk about it. It's tremendous machlokus throughout the sugya, from beginning to end.
What's the one that's slowly oxidizing?
Both of those.
Which? The compost.
And the compost and the geffet, which is the leftover after pressing. The leftover is gradually oxidized. They're very warm.
And compost is also considered slow, you know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. All those slow things. It doesn't necessarily mean anything that gives out heat. Now that's exactly what the question is here, because what about in a case where you have a hot oven?
But it's off.
Yeah. Now it's cooling down, but it's certainly going to add heat to the pot that you put in. So I consider it to be Dover Amos Evo. It's a question. Furthermore, even things that clearly add heat, only things that have to do with heat that we recognize in Lechara. And here's another question. How about if you're heating not with a chemical reaction? How about if you're heating, let's say, with microwaves, or you're heating with radiation? So the Gemara deals with the heating through radiation from uranium. So it talks about using lead that still has uranium in it, so in other words, it's breaking down. So they would use that for heating. Maybe it's not such a good idea. But that certainly gives heat. So if you talk about, let's say, Chamit Feria, how about that? What is that considered to be? So Aver Mikoro, famous case later on in the Gemara. Lead from a lead mine, which is hot from the breakdown of the uranium. What about that? So is the issue heat? Is the issue chemical heat? Is the question that it's growing heat? Or is the question that it's going to add heat to the pot that you're putting in? Now, some of that immediately enters into the issue here in our Mishnah, because we could view this as just going an extension now from the din of Hatmana. And indeed, Rashi seems to make that assumption. The next case that we'd have to worry about, okay, forget about Hatmana. How about putting something on a fire before Shabbos? about putting something back on the fire on Shabbos if you took it up. It's already been cooked. Now, these were questions that we raised earlier about putting something in to cook, even in midday, where there was a chashash on certain things that you might open up the door on Shabbos and poke at the fires because you wanted to cook better. And we were mechalik, remember, between a gedi and a gedi in one piece, and a gedi that was cut up, and an older animal that it doesn't matter if it's close to the air. So all of these questions, plus these new questions, that was a tanu. Now we're talking about a kira. Are going to be discussed here. So first, before we begin, we have to know in this paragraph there are three key tools for cooking. One of them is the oven, which we already met, and that's the tanur. We met that back in the first parak. And that tanur, it's not what we call a tanur, was built basically of porcelain or of earthenware. Its opening was on top. The heat was inside on the bottom. And things were cooked by sticking to the edges. And then you would take them off the edge, pull them out of the top. The other tools that we have here are the kira and the kupach. Now the kira and the kupach both are stovetops. The difference between them is that the kira is a dual stovetop, so it has place for two pots at one time. And the kupach has place only for one pot at a time. That doesn't sound like it's very important, but it's important in terms of the concentration of heat. Because remember, the way that a stovetop was made was it was basically a pot itself, a ceramic pot, that would hold some burning material at the bottom. And then you would put the pot that you're cooking right on top of it, and it would continue to burn or to heat with the coals that had been hot before. And therefore, if it's spread out over the area of two pots, then the heat is not as intense, not as concentrated.
Two openings
on the top. So here, the Kira, our Mishnah specifically talks about a stovetop with two openings. Now the question is, what was the fuel? So there may be a number of different issues here. You could use in a Kira kash and givava. Now kash and givava, as we already saw before, the kash is just the little hair-like things that stick out of the tvua that fall off. And the givava are small little pieces of branches and all kinds of junk that you pick up on a field. Like, these things burn instantly, stubble. Although Tosis brings the targum, the laws of stubble for the kash. Because he says they also fall off. They're also called stubble. It doesn't help to just refer to stubble. These burn instantly, basically. So they got a little heat in there. Once they go out, they go out. And then, of course, the other hand, you can have real coals in there that are burning. They're going to stay hot for a long time. So the kira shehisikua bekash ubegivava notnim alea tafshil. If you have something that was burnt out totally, you're allowed to put a tafshil on it. Now, tafshil, as opposed to chamin, is something that is going to cook and not just boil. And this, of course, again, is a very important additional parameter that we need to discuss. What is the value of keeping this thing hot to you? If it's just hot water, you have no interest in making it any hotter because you don't want it to boil out. You want to just keep it hot enough that it should be able to be good for your tea. If, on the other hand, you're talking about something that is cooking, then you have to get into the question of whether it's mitztamek v'tovlo or mitztamek v'ralo. Is this something that is best if it continues to cook? Or is it okay if it's just sort of simmering? Now there, of course, is going to be a different level of concern that you might have for the heat that's inside of your oven, your stovetop. And that's yet another issue. So our first question is the instrument. Is it a kira? Is it a kupach? Is it a tanur? The second question that we have, the fuel. Is it something that retains heat? Does it burn out completely? The third consideration that we have to take is, what is it that you're attempting to keep warm here? Is it something that mitztamek v'ralo, mitztamek v'tovlo? Is it something which doesn't even usually require cooking? You're not talking about cooking, you're just talking about keeping something hot. Hot water doesn't really cook in the same sense that a tafshil cooks. And then, of course, you have another consideration. Are we talking about putting it back on the fire? We're talking about putting it on the fire for the first time, which leads you to the next question. Are we talking about before Shabbos? We're talking about on Shabbos. Are you allowed to leave something cooking on Shabbos to remove that you don't intend to put back? Or may you not leave something on a fire before Shabbos that you're going to take off and not put back, which is called shohin. So the technical term for that difference is shohin versus chazara. Mashin, allowing something to stay on the fire, versus chazara, putting it back on the fire. But pashtut matzirin is a question of, can you put it back on Shabbos? We'll see, it's not that simple. There's even a question of whether you could put something back on a fire before Shabbos. That doesn't mean from Sunday, and it doesn't mean from Friday morning, but what does it mean? That we'll see. Okay, that's the question that Tosfos discusses.
But this is still not banal, isn't it?
No, that's, we'll see. That's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. But let's move on now. Assuming that, as Rashi does, keeping something hot on Shabbat in a kira, because the pot does fall into the hole, to a certain extent, is itself a type of hatmana, then we have to apply certain din of hatmana to kira. This is what Rashi is assuming. So if you use kash and givava, then it's not going to be mosif hevel. And he compares this to the din of hatmana of mosif hevel or eino mosif hevel, which we had in the previous parak. Tosfos rejects this out of hand for two reasons. First of all, he says, hatmana means to be covered, not to be partially stuck into something else. That is simply not what the word hatmana means, and it's not what Chazal asserted in hatmana. And I'm sure you're all aware of the fact that's how we pass it. Whereas the Ramah is matir, this type of non-hatmana, if you don't have the thing completely covered. This is a very serious issue, by the way, in things such as crockpots. Because the way a crockpot works is that you take a pot and you insert it into another pot. Now, that's the ultimate kira according to Rashi, which there, indeed, many shittot hold, if you're covering up the entire side of the pot, you just have this thing sticking out that allows you to lift it, then you're dealing with hatmana. Now, because of that, there are people who are makpid to buy a different type of crockpot. There are two types of crockpots. One crockpot allows the entire pot to fit in, just leaving out a little handle-like device that you pull it out with. The other type of crockpot has a rim around the top of the pot that allows the pot to fall in up until the rim, and then from that point on, it's above the so-called kira, in other words, the crockpot itself. This is the place where we have the equivalent of the question of a kupach, actually, not a kira, because it's a single pot, not a double, in which there might be a shayla of hatmana, which is the way Rashi is learning the whole issue. So it's interesting that after thousands of years, the issue has come right back to where it was in one particular case. Now here's the shayla: how do we define hatmana? So that's one reason Tosfos argues. Another very important reason that Tosfos argues is that he says that the meaning, if Rashi compares that you're using a hot kira that has been heated now with, let's say, eitzim, that you now took out the eitzim. And now you've got a problem over here. If you leave any eitzim in, it's mosif hevel, even though it's not burning. And if you take it out, it's not mosif hevel. So Tosfos says, I don't know what you're talking about. You got a boiling hot stove. You're going to put something in it. It's going to get hotter from the stove. Doesn't eino mosif hevel simply mean that it's insulated, but doesn't add heat of its own? And mosif hevel means that it's not only insulated, it adds heat of its own. Well, this certainly adds heat of its own. So it's clear that according to Rashi, the meaning of mosif hevel is that it's not in a state of cooling down, but it continues to add heat. So I have two very, very important machlokas just by the definition of what the issue is in the Mishnah. So according to Rashi, even a pot that's not totally covered is called hatmana. Furthermore, according to Rashi, something which isn't adding new heat, even though it adds heat that's already there, is called eino mosif hevel, even though it's very hot. According to Tosfos, both of those assumptions are wrong. Hatmana is only when the pot is covered, and something which is going to add heat to the pot despite the fact that it's cooling down and doesn't add new heat is also called Mosif Hevel. And therefore, according to Tosfos, this is a whole new issue. You have to separate between Hatzmana. To use the word Mosif Hevel or Eino Mosif Hevel, says Tosfos, is absurd in this sugya. What does it have to do with Mosif Hevel? The only question in our sugya is issues of Mirzik Mavashel, perhaps. Does it look like the act of cooking? We are doing things that appear to be cooking. Or, of course, our famous question of Shema Yakata Begichalim. If something is cooking, you may want to make it hotter. If that's, I'm introducing now all of the issues because we have so many different ways of putting them together. This is a very complicated parak, and we might as well see all of the things up front and then gradually see how the Gemara develops them. So those are issues. Now the other question is, and if in fact you were now goreit the kotein, so now you put some ash, let's say, dirt, which creates remnants, you put it over the burning coals, what difference does that make? Is that there's no din of Shema Yachater? Why? Because there's nothing left to be choter? We saw earlier that that's not true. Because we spoke about using remnants, that maybe he will be choter. And indeed the Rambam says it's impossible. There should be something left that could certainly be still alive and able to be chatui. So maybe the issue is, according to some, siluk of your dad. In doing the act of grief or katima, you're showing that you no longer have interest in taking the flame and the heat from this thing because you've put it out, basically. Ah, the fact that it may still be there, in your mind, it's over. You're not thinking of it in terms of something that heats. You're only thinking of it in terms of something that retains heat.
So according to that, if someone else did it, wouldn't work?
We'll see. There's a lot of questions that may come halacha lemaisa, differences in that approach. And then we have the other question, which Rashi introduces here, together with Shema Yachata, which is Michzik Bavasha. To do an act that to anyone else is indistinguishable from cooking. I don't know what the status is of that pot. All I know is I see a guy taking a pot on Shabbos and putting it on the stove. So, I mean, the question is now, what makes it non-bishul? So a michzik and mavashel is also something that we need to take into consideration. Those are the elements. Now, let's talk about, of course, there was one other element I forgot. Whoops. The other element is, if something is already cooked, is there a chash of cooking it? That we spoke about earlier. Whether yesh bishul achar bishul. And what is something that's cooked, unquote, called? And of course, we had the din of ma'achal ben drusoi earlier. Once something is cooked, l'shlish bishulo, so then already it's considered to be cooked. We had the big machlokas about whether this means that you can no longer cook it, and ain't bishul achar bishul. Or whether perhaps it's possible to cook it more, and then we would have serious chashashas over here of actual bishul. Okay, I think that pretty much covers the different elements that we need to consider. So now, taking a kira, that's the first question, that's the instrument now, a double stovetop. Hisikur bekashu begavava, and that's the fuel. So we use something that just basically flashes for a few moments and then it's gone. Notnim alea tafshil, you're allowed to put down tafshil, and that's even tafshil apparently, not only chamim, to be qualified later in the Mishnah, and that's the third element that needs to be addressed. A fourth element that hasn't been addressed, and that leaves us up in the air, and that's going to make the Gemara crazy, is when you say notnim alea, what do you mean? Do you mean notnim alea before Shabbos to remain cooking on Shabbos? Or do you mean notim alea that you can even put it back on the fire if you took it off of the fire and that you can be marzer it? It's very unclear, the Mishnah. So that element remains still vague. However, if you use gefet or etzim, then the lo yitain, whatever that yitain is, which we don't know yet, but lo yitain achiyigrof, you have to be goreif, it's a machlokas rishonim, which is dependent on how to understand the function of grifa. We already mentioned a number of possibilities. But the machlokas who shown him whether grifa means completely evacuating the inside of the kira from all of the burning coals, or whether grief is a little door, obviously, on the side that allows you to do this, or whether grifa means moving them all over to one side so that you've pushed them away, which also shows a siluk and may change the michzikim of Asho, but doesn't necessarily change the question of whether you've got something there that is shaykh to be choter if you decide to. Oh, actually, you can't have to afer war until you're kotein. You have to cover it up with either dirt or with ash to put out the fire. Now, what type of things would you be allowed to be magzir? Beit Shammai omrim, well, now let's not go so far. Did you say tafshil? Well, not really tafshil. Chamim, avalo tafshil. Hot water, yes. But, and that's only after you took out, of course, the fire, or put out the fire. The reason is, why should we worry? You certainly don't want your kettle to boil out on Shabbos. You just want to keep it warm. We have no chashash. They're going to try to heat it up even hotter. But when it comes to tafshil,
already boiled.
Again, this is Rashi's pshat that our chashash over here is in terms of Shema Yachateh. But not tafshil, because if you put in a tafshil, there's two possible problems. A, Shema Yachateh, because you like the fact that it's cooking. B, Michzikim of Asho. It looks like you're cooking on Shabbos. Rashi brings both issues. And we're going to have to establish when we worry about one or when we have the other, and when we worry about both. But in Beit Shammai, this would be Beit Shammai's concern. Whereas Beit Hillel Omrim, Chamin v'tafshil, makes no difference. You could use either way. Now, the next question seems to address the one issue that was left hanging up front. What was left hanging? What do we mean when we say notzim? Do we mean you could put it on before Shabbos to stay warm? Or do we mean you put it on even on Shabbos, so that if you took off your challah pot and took something out, you could put it back on the fire? The last piece of the Mishnah seems to address that question, in which Beit Shammai says, notlin avolo machzirin. So now what we seem to be doing over here is having a machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, in how to define the reisha. That's one way of understanding it. The other way of understanding it is that there are two separate machlokas. The first meaning of notnim was indeed the shohim, mashim, and now we have an additional machlokas about whether machzirin. So this would be completely different approaches to the Mishnah. Please let's look at the Mishnah again from a little bit of a distance and think about the two ways to look at it. We could understand the Mishnah as a statement that comes up front that leaves us in doubt as to precisely what it means. Namely, notnim alav, whatever that means, and tafshil, whatever that means, something that needs to be heated. Now, what do we mean by that tafshil? Well, it's a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Well, Beit Shammai means, it doesn't mean literally a tafshil of a cholent, it means a kettle of hot water. Beit Hillel says, no, it means even a cholent. Next issue. Hey, what did we mean when we say notnim alav? Did we mean notnim alav even to put it back on, or did we mean notnim alav from before Shabbos to leave it to cook over Shabbos? That's one approach to the Mishnah.
Being the fire
restoration. The other approach to the Mishnah is that indeed the opening statement is a statement that's referring to Shihiyah. Can we leave something on or not? That's what notnim means. What can we leave on? Chamin or tafshil. Furthermore, there's an additional machlokas. And how about when it comes to chazara? So in other words, the first statement was made both by Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. They're both agreed up front, notnim. Notnim meaning before Shabbat. They argue about what notnim. And then we have a second machlokas in the Mishnah. And how about when it comes to chazara on Shabbos? That's a machlokas. Totally different ways of looking at the Mishnah. One way is looking at it as a vague statement that requires now the pirish of what we mean by tafshil and what we mean by notnim. And the other is, no, the Reisha stands on its own. It was discussing one type of notnim, which is what you would normally think notnim means. You're cooking before Shabbos. You put it on, and you're going to leave it on. That's Shia. And it made a statement, I'll leave it to Beit Hillel, basically. Tafshil, says Beit Shammai, I agree with you, but only in terms of water, hot water, not in terms of Tafshil. Furthermore, now we got another question. Okay, so this is our Gemara's first question. How do we read that Mishnah? That's what the question boils down to. The way the Gemara asks the question is by asking, what does notnim mean? When we said notnim or lo yitain, so what is this lo yitain if you were using coal inside that stovetop? Hi, lo yitain, does that mean lo yachzir, not to put it back on? Let us assume now, for the sake of simplicity, that putting it back on means on Shabbos. We'll see that that's not so simple at all, and that there is also the possibility of lo yachzir, meaning after you've cooked something before, and you want to put it back on the stovetop before Shabbos, that if you wouldn't have been able to heat it up from zero at that point, that's from zero, from room temperature, at that point, then that's already considered to be now cooking on Shabbat, mitzikim avashel, and that you won't be able to do. But again, for the sake of simplicity, we're talking about putting something back on a fire on Shabbos. You'll notice that the naftaminas, by the way, are translated into such modern questions. For instance, we take a little blech, right, and we put this asbestos, you used to take an old asbestos blech, you put it on top of the fire. I mean, that thing is actually burning. Forget about whether you were goreg for kotan. You've got a flame that's burning there. And in every Jewish home, well, every Jewish home that believes in the Pesachim of Ramesh, at least, but in every Jewish home throughout the United States and the English-speaking world, you would put an asbestos thing down on your thing, and you would say, okay, I covered the fire. Now, wait a second. If grifa v'ketima means taking out the fire completely, I mean, that ain't no covered fire. That's not going to help. If the issue is that we're talking about shema yachdam, you still turn the fire up and down. The easiest thing in the world, just move the knob. And why aren't you still worried about it being hot or cold? So obviously, the issues that need to be taken into consideration over there is the question of, is the act of grifa v'ketima a formality in which you're being misalik your das? Is it something which is that makes it look like this is not the normal way I would cook, therefore it's not mirzik and mamasha, but it's not that it seriously makes any change for what the status is in terms of your jiggling the fire? I mean, that is still possible, but that we never answered. We only answered in a case where we didn't do that act of grief or ketima. So this would be the equivalent of grief or ketima. The Chazanish didn't hold of those things at all. Because from the sugya, depending on how you learn, it's very possible that that's not grief or not ketima. It's absolutely nothing. Well, why would it change anything to have a piece of asbestos over a fire that can be adjusted? Okay, so you see that these things have very, very contemporary counterparts. All of the issues that we're going to be discussing over here are directly nogea l'halacha. So asks the Gemara, when you say lo yitain, in a case where you had used things that are hot, and not just flashes of heat, so do you mean lo yachzir, not to put it back on Shabbos, but you would be allowed to leave something on a fire or on the coals from before Shabbos, I will lishot mashin, and that would be even if it's an open flame. Alpapi she'eno goruf ve'eno katum, you've got coals in there, and you can put your chalent on the coals, and they could stay hot over Shabbos. Once you take it off, you won't be able to put it back on. But there's nothing wrong with leaving it on. That would be one way of learning the Mishnah. And who would that be going according to? Umani. That would be going according to the Shita of Hananya. It's very important throughout this parak to remember Hananya Shita. Hananya Shita is that, the Tanya Hananya Omer, Kol Shehu, Kemachal Ben Drusoy. anything that has reached now the level of mevushal, so that it's one-third cooked. Now, obviously, if it's one-third cooked, they could still use with a little cooking, so then it would be mitztameg v'tovlo. Nonetheless, mutar lahashoto al gabei kira, you can leave it on the stovetop. Apo pi she'eino garuf, ve'eino katum, even though you didn't do anything to change the heat of, or to change your das, or to show formally that you're not connected to this. If that would be the case, then of course, the only way to understand the Mishnah is that the Mishnah would be talking about putting something back on the fire on Shabbos, not leaving it there from before Shabbos. Because according to Hananya, the Mishnah would make absolutely no sense. Why do I need grief or ketima for Tzerev Shabbos? I'm just keeping it warm on Shabbos. So that would be one way of understanding it. O Dilma, perhaps the way to understand the Mishnah is that Notnim is actually a question of before Shabbos. And Notnim is the Shaila of Lishot. And the question is, am I allowed to leave something on a fire before Shabbat? E garuf ikatumini lolo? And the Mishnah would then be saying that the only way you're allowed to leave something from before Shabbos is dafka if you took out the flames or moved it to the side, depending on which sheet you hold. Almost everyone holds it means removal. But ilolo, and the koshikin lahzirim is certainly talking about putting something back. That's nothing even to discuss. For sure you wouldn't be allowed to put it back on a fire.
That could grow bottom, yeah.
Yeah. Well, almost according to everybody. I mean, the question about Yesh Bishalach Abishu and so on would be where that shaila enters. Toshma. So now the Gemara is going to consider the structure of the Mishnah, introducing the structural question as the answer to this problem. Because the truth is, the two different ways of reading the Mishnah are two very different ways of determining the halacha in terms of Shehiya and Chazara. So therefore, says the Gemara, look, the Mishnah has what appears to be two completely different sections. One of them that talks about Notnim, and the other one that talks about Amachlokas, Beit Shammai, and Beit Hillel, if Mahziri or not, right? Okay, I mean, doesn't that mean that there's two separate issues in the Mishnah? One issue is the question of Shehiya, and that's the first part, Notnim. The second part that discusses Chazarah, that's a different question. That's the second part of it. Otherwise, why would the Mishnah be so repetitious? So Toshma, Minitoni Trei Babi B'Matnit. Look, our Mishnah consists of two separate sections. Section number one describes what it is that I'm cooking. So Beit Shammai Omrim Chamin Avalo Tavshio, Beit Hillel Omrim Chamin V'Tavshio. Now that seems to mean that whatever the opening part of the Mishnah was talking about, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree. The only thing they argue about is what? According to Beit Shammai, only hot water. According to Beit Hillel, you're cholent. Comes along now the second machloket. Furthermore, Beit Shammai omrim notlim avalo machzirin, uBeit Hillel omrim af machzirin. Okay, so now, if you take the simple approach to the Mishnah, Yamid Bishlema, that the first part of the Mishnah was talking about something that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel had in common, namely leaving something on the fire before Shabbos, which is called Shehiya. So Yamid Bishlema Lishot, now if you're ready to accept that the issue in the Mishnah and the opening was the question of allowing something to stay on before Shabbat, here's how we would read the Mishnah. Let's start at the beginning. Kira shisikua bekashu begavava, and it's Erev Shabbat, and you want to leave your pot on the fire, no problem. Mashina le'atavsh. You could simply leave it on the fire. But if you're using gefet or etzim, which stay hot for a long time, and they are going to continue to burn, then lo yishe'achi yigrofachi tenefer. You can't leave something on the fire unless you did something to put out the fire, to remove the fire. Now, as far as what that something is, Mahin Mashin, what is that something? Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Mahin Mashin, Beit Shammai Omrim Chamin Avalo Tavshio, Beit Hillel Omrim Chamin Vit Tavshio. That's the first section of the Mishnah. Second section of the Mishnah adds, V'chi hecha de pligi b'lishon. In the same way that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argue of what you're allowed to be shoher, they also argue about whether you're allowed to be machzir, that which we agree is mutter lishot, according to Beit Hillel Tafshil, according to Beit Shammai Chamim. That itself is a machloket about chazara. Beit Shammai says only to remove it if you left it before Shabbos. That's what it means. But you certainly can't put it on Shabbos. Beit Hillel, I mean, what's the problem? Af machzirim, you can even put it back on. That makes the Mishnah chock full of information. We have two separate machlokas in terms of what the meaning of his note mean, shoyin versus machzirim, and then we have a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that also applies to both cases. What is the thing that we allow you, Bechlal, to even consider being shohet, mashher, or machzir? But if you're going to learn it the other way, that the opening of the Mishnah, the Tana had in mind, not Shehiyah, but he was already willing to tackle the thorny problem, which is the question of putting something back on a fire on Shabbos, okay? So then, how do we read the Mishnah? Let's read the Mishnah. Al Chikatani. Let's start the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Kira Shisikua Bekasha Begevava. Now, of course, for the word notnin, let's substitute the word machzirin, because you're claiming that's what it means. Okay. Machzirin alea tafshio. But if you heated it with gevet ve'etzim, lo yachzir, then you can't put it back on the fire on Shabbos. Achi yigrov, o achi yitena efer. Okay. Umahein, meaning umahein what? Machzirin machzirin, what could you put back on the fire? Beit Shammai omrim chamin avalo tafshil. By the way, here we just touch upon the question of whether yachzir means on Shabbos. Because how could the Mishnah say you can't put it back on until you turn off the fire? What's that supposed to mean? How are you supposed to turn off the fire on Shabbos? So Tosfos says, then wouldn't it have said Ela imken garaf? Ela imken natan? What do you mean, achi imken? You better not do it now. That was our problem. Which implies that the din of chazara is before Shabbos, not on Shabbos. And from when, says Tosfos? What does that mean? On Sunday? Don't cook, because you're going to end up, obviously not. And what is the shear? The shear would be the point at which you'd have to now be heating it. And it would still need to be heated on Shabbos.
Not fully cooked.
Heated. Roteach. Two separate issues. The current temperature and the amount of cooking. So Tosfos has machalik between those two issues. We didn't discuss it before. It wasn't nogea. But this is now introduces a new element. The difference between its status, and how much it's been cooked, and how much it can use cooking, and its current temperature, which we did talk about the Gabit Hatzmana. We said most things are boiling when it comes to the time right by Ben Hashmashot. That was the difference between the Gezerah, in which we were afraid maybe you'll come to cook it, Shemayachte, if it was during Ben Hashmashot or done later. We raised that issue earlier. But here Tosfos says, so that would be the shear. Or, he suggests, perhaps it means, even if it's hot, the shear would be to make it move from room temperature till where it would be hot. Even if it is hot now. In other words, pretend now it's room temperature. Is there enough time in the day for me to put it on and it would be hot if it hadn't been hot? That's another possibility of what chazara could be, the time of chazara, if it's referring to Arab Shabbat. Okay.
Couldn't be
eating
on Yahzir on Shabbos,
Achi
Yigrov, unless before Shabbos he took out.
Yeah, but Yigrov is means until it's done.
Yeah.
So grammatically, it doesn't make sense.
Well, unless he had already.
Achi Yigrov doesn't mean unless he had. Ela imken garaf is what it should say. Right, so therefore, that's what it says.
Well,
obviously,
on Tuesday, we're telling him You can't
exactly, but that's awkward. It's very awkward. Tosfos doesn't like the awkward construction. Obviously, if we learn as Rashi does, that Chazor is an issue on Shabbat, that's what it means. Be aware of the fact that you won't be able to put it until you're Gorefit, meaning before Shabbos, and then you'll be able to do it then. Okay. Now, again, we're pretending to read the Mishnah according to the second approach. The second approach now is that when it says notnim, it means machzirim. Fine. So now you're telling me, notnim meaning machzirin ala tafshil, but if it was begefet, then you're not machzir, and what can you be machzir? Beit Shammai says you could be machzir your kettle, but you can't be machzir the cholent, and Beit Hillel says you could be machzir the cholent also, and, yeah, go ahead, and read the next piece. And furthermore, Beit Shammai omrim, notlin avalo machzirin. Understand, that's what we've been talking about. We're asking you whether you could be machzir. Why are you raising this issue now? Notlin avalo machzirin. That's what we've been talking about all along. All of a sudden now you say, oh, by the way, what? Well, by the way, that's what the word notni meant according to you. So hatulamali, what's this review now? That's what we've been talking about. When we said chame avlo tafshil, you were saying chame you could be magzir, but not tafshil. Oh, and I want you to know, by the way, you can be magzir, the chame avlo tafshil. I mean, the Mishnah doesn't make any sense according to this. Answers the Gemara, and this was the other way of looking at the Mishnah, which was the way that we showed that it could be looked at as leaving something up in the air, really, that actually, maybe it does mean the latter case of Lahazir. And it's true the Mishnah is a little bit confusing because it doesn't say, and now let's define what we meant by. So we'll make it chisuri mechas. It'll be missing that little piece. But I mean, essentially, that's what it's coming to say. The Mishnah is coming to tell me now, getting back to what we meant when we said notnim, that you should know is a machloket and so on. Notnim avolo machzuri. So this would be how to look at it. The chisuri mechas, v'alki katani. Correct way of reading the Mishnah according to the second possibility, which is not like Hananya. Yes, magzirin in the loosest sense. Magzirin, tafshil. Begefet of etim lo yagzir achi yigrov, o achi teneta efer. Ava lishot machin, but we're not talking about shehia, because, I mean, that's Hananya. That would be abo bisheno garuf veino katum. Now, if you would be allowed to be machin, what would that be? Mahin mashin. Beit Shammai omrim chamin avalo tafshil. Beit Hillel omrim chamin vitafshil. So basically the first part of the Mishnah is an agreement now by Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that when it comes to Shehiya, it's mutter. The question is, what? What's mutter? Oh, and by the way, the opening statement of Notnim, which you understood as Chazora, Ha Chazora de Amri Lecha, by the way, La de Reakoli, getting back explaining that. It isn't really everyone's Shita, it's actually about, look at Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. She Beit Shammai Omrim Notlim Velo Magzirim, U Beit Hillel Omrim Af Magzirim. Now remember what this Gemara is essentially saying. The Gemara does not ever present a Mishnah as the Mishnah wants to leave you waiting and not tell you. It's a given. The Mishnah means something. You are now a naive reader. What does the Mishnah mean when it says nothing? Okay. All right, let's assume it means machzir. Then there would be an implication. The implication would be that, well, for showing it's not a problem. So when we're talking about for showing it's not a problem, what do we mean? But the real thing that the Gemara is saying underneath it all is, look, there's two issues here. Notnim in the general sense and tafshil in the general sense. Let's define those terms. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel define tafshil. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel define notnim. To put it into the way in which a Gemara reads a Mishnah is the way the Gemara just did it. Take your choice. What are you going to say about this Machzirim. What are, there's no note in here. Machzirim? Okay, fine. Then what are the implications? The implications are that Hananiah is right and Shoen is okay. That's fascinating. Okay, what are you allowed? I mean, being as everybody seems to say it's okay, what are you allowed that you're both agreeing that it's okay if you would just leave it there? Ah, that's a machlokas. Again, why do we do it that way? Because it says tafshil. I mean, what are they going to say? Tafshil means chamin, I'll leave it to Rebbe Shammai. So obviously it was one thing that we were talking about that's given up front. Chazorah and tafshil. So now we'll talk about the implications. The implications are that there's another unmentioned case. The unmentioned case is Shehiyah, not Chazorah. And in the unmentioned case, it's something. What thing? Is it Tafshil literally or only Chamin? So now that's what we come to explain. Now we'll go back and talk about, oh, your assumption about Machzirin. Well, actually, that's a Machlokas.
Oh, you know, at that point, everything we said is not Bishamai. It's only
correct. Bishamai. Correct. Because that's the way that a Gemara views a Mishnah, is that it's always saying something. It's not that the Mishnah, in other words, when we come back in a Mishnah, and we give it a pirush, it's important to understand this, because it's the whole mode by which a Gemara approaches a Mishnah. We say a Mishnah means something. We know perfectly well that Rebbe includes multiple somethings, but it has to be readable as meaning something, not let's leave it vague. Obviously, what it really means is let's leave it vague. Now you go figure out what it means. I mean, that's the whole point of its being Tarshav Alpeh. That's the reason that we have Chisuri Machasra. That's the reason that Rebbe goes out of his way to use these weird constructions and words that don't particularly mean an exact thing, when it would be so much easier for him to say. I mean, do you mean Mave as Adam, or do you mean Mave as a Shein? What do you mean? Why don't you just say it, right? Well, that's the whole point. I don't want to say it. But how are you going to read the Mishnah? You've got different ways of reading the Mishnah. But this is the way that the Gemara essentially approaches the open-endedness of the Mishnah. In other words, what we're really saying with this last analysis, that the opening means Chazorah, is that the Mishnah can be read as Chazorah with implications for Shia, moving back to the discussion of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about Shehiyah, and then discussing, and what would be the din of Chazorah, leave it to Beit Shammai, which is very messy, you understand, but it boils down to the same issue. Okay, I'm not going to tell you. Here's what I'm going to say. If you've got Kasha Gavava, you can do X with Y. Now, what's X and what's Y? What's X is a machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, whether it's Tafshil or Chamin. What's Y is a machlokas Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Is it Chazorah or only showing? We don't write Mishnayos like that. But in terms of how we view the Mishnah, it's exactly what it would mean. And of course, that's elegant already. But there's no concept of X and Y in a Mishnah. Okay? But that's what it boils down to. Once you look at it that way, the Mishnah is very simple to see. The two possibilities in the Mishnah are very simple to see. And it all boils down to the question of whether we paskin like Hananiah. That Shehiyah, there's nothing to discuss. Shehiyah is certainly mutter. Okay.
Moving the air, that's what's needed. It's
okay. There's always the manual.
I tried reading the manual.
Really?
It's absolute gobbledygook. No idea what it's talking
about.
It's
in which case is the old trying?
Worse, it's Japanese translated into English, which already makes no sense. But they took the English and they translated it to Hebrew. Now for sure it doesn't make sense, and they don't give you the English. The first level, you can usually make out what they're trying to say. You know, it's too much to expect that they should actually put someone who knows English there. But, you know, but that's computerized translation. But
right.
Yeah, they use computers to translate. It makes absolutely no sense.
Okay,
we're up to... And my shofar is a chatzotzot. Reb Chista, the Yom Reb Chista, hanitlat mili, ishtani shamayu michi charav beit hamidrash. The chatzotzot ta became the shufra, And the shofar became the chatzotzotah. The mayanav kmina, the shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. Arava became the tzavtzafa. The tzavtzafa became the arava. The mayanav kmina, the lulav. And petorah became a petorah. And the petorah became a petorah. The mayanav kmina, the mekachumen. Omra bayav anu nomar. Lila became the bekas, and the bekas became the lila. The mayanav kmina, the makat shenim tzbovi betakosot. The mitzad achad kshira, mishnei tzadim trefa. Omer Ravashi Afanu Nomar, Bavel is Bursif, Bursif is Bavel, Lamayin Afkanina, Legite Nashim, Adr Lachman Mamedikin. Kirashi Siko Bekashi, Begevaba, Notrima Lea Tafshio, Begevetu Veitzim, Lo Yitena Chi Grof, O Achi Tena Taefer. Beit Shammai Omrim, Chamin Avalo Tafshio, Beit Hillel Omrim, Chamin Vetafshio. Beit Shammai Omrim, Notlin Avalo Marzirin, Beit Hillel Omrim, Af Marzirin. Iboilu, hai lo yitein, lo yachzirhu, aval ishot mashin apapisha eno dorufeno katu, umani chananya yidetanya chananya omer koshu kemachal ben rusoi, mutar lishoto aga vikira apapisha eno dorufeno katu, odioma lishot nan, vii garufe katu min, vii lo lo, ve koshu ken lachzir, tashma midiktoni shrei babi bimatniti, bet shamay omrim chamin avalo tafshel, bet ilay omrim chamin vetafshel, Beit Shammai Omrim Notin Avo Lo Marzinu, Beit Hillel Omrim Av Marzirin, Sinalot, Yamit Bishleinu Lishot Na'an Zohi Katoni, Kira Shizikur Bekashu Begavava Mashin Alea Tafshil, Begefet Uveitzim Lo Yishe Achi Yigrov, not like Hananya, O Achi Yiten Efer, Umayin Mashin Beit Shammai Omrim Chamin Avo Lo Tafshil, Beit Hillel Omrim Chamin Vetafshil, וכי איך את הפליגי בלשעות, פליגי נמי בלהחזיר, שבית שמי אומרים נותנים אבל לא מחזירים, ובית הלל אומרים אף מחזירים. But if you're going to try to make a workout לחנניה, and you're going to say יעמד להחזיר, so then let's read the משנה, כי ראשי סיכו בקש בגבבה, מחזירים עליה תפשיל. בגבת וביצים לא יחזיר עד שיגרוף, או עד שייתן את ההפר. ומה הם מחזירים? Beit Shammai Omrim Chamin Avalo Tafshil, Beit Hillel Omrim Chamin Vetafshil. Then what's the last part? Beit Shammai Omrim Notrin Avalo Marzirin, Beit Hillel Omrim Av Marzirin. Atulonami. Liyola Meir Melacha Lachzir Tzan. Bechisur Mechas Ravochi Katani. Kira Shizikur Bekashu Begevava Marzirin Alei Atafshil, Begevet Beitzim Lo Yachzir Achi Yigrov Vajitin Ad Eifer. Avol Lishot Mashin, that's a given. Like Chananya. אבא פי שאינו גורו ואינו כתוב ומה הם משאים בית שמי אמרים חמין אבל לא תפשיר ובית הלל אמרים חמין ותפשיר נאו, אך חזור עד הארמי לך זאת אומרת, סוף פושט לב דברי הכל הם את המחלוק יש בית שמי ובית הלל בגלל זה גורי בית שמי it's only not lean ולא מחזרים ובית הלל אמרים אף מחזרים but when it comes to showin everybody's ready to go for showin okay. That's